Welcome to the January 9th, 2011, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's service includes the installation and ordination of our new deacons. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That is great. Thank you, choir. Oh, my goodness. We're excited that it's time for us to worship. Take just a couple minutes and greet the people around you. Just say hello to them. Go. It is good to be together. Some days, just that joy of seeing a fellow Christian's face, that's all that we have to get us through the day. And that's more than enough this Sunday morning. We are thankful for your presence and worship this day. A few announcements that we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests to fill this pew pad out. There's a place to write your name down, put any contact information you choose, check the appropriate boxes, and then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We do ask, once it gets to the end of the pew, that if you could send it back to where it got started, that will help our ushers. And then once it gets back to that very first person, if you could tear out those pages that were used this morning, that will help our ushers at the end of the service. Several announcements we'll make as we get started today. A reminder to our children, we are having children's time right down here. So right after the first hymn, invite all the kids, come down for meet with me for just a few moments. Let's see. We have beautiful sanctuary flowers today, and we have so many, we had to put some of the flowers in the hallway as you came in. We want to make sure you knew about the flowers in the hallway, anniversary of Fred Farmer's passing away and going to see the Lord, and we want you to make sure that you make note of that and see those beautiful flowers as you came in the sanctuary today. Reminder also, an adjustment to our schedule this afternoon, there will be no music activities, including youth choir, so we want to make sure everybody is aware of that. We will have youth council today at 4 o'clock, and we want you to make sure you are on schedule for that. Also, this Tuesday is our is salad supper. That is going to be canceled. Looking at the weather and all the variables that between now and Tuesday night, we're going to go ahead and cancel that salad supper. Let's see. Any other announcements? Anything? Choir, y'all look good. Y'all feel good?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't the choir look good this morning? They said yes. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. A few moments ago, you gave us your information on the pew pad. We certainly appreciate you giving that to us. But if you're a guest this morning, we invite you just right where you are to raise your hand. These ushers will come back down the aisles now, and they would like to give you some information. They will give you a packet of information that includes a letter from our pastor. Also, you will find a little bit of the history or the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's happening. Lots of things going on in several different areas of our church, and this newsletter will get you up to date on all of those things. It is time for us to worship. It is time for us to come into the presence of God, the one who made it all. That some days it's more difficult to do that than others. If we're honest, there are so many things that have happened through the week or over the last month or that can distract us, that can keep us from knowing the love that God has for us. He wants to unveil that love to you, maybe in a brand new way today. He's got a message. He's got something he wants to tell each of us, if we would have ears to hear. Let us worship together. Pray with me. Father, as the choir has sung this morning, we are an offering. Everything that we have, every gift, every talent, every dollar, every ounce of energy, every moment, should be an offering to you. Because without you, none of those things exist. Without you, we don't exist. And so, Father, we come offering ourselves to you during this time of worship. Without you, this service is meaningless. So be in this place, we pray. Come into this sanctuary. Inhabit our praises. Be in this place. And when we leave, we will know beyond a shadow of a doubt we have been in your presence. And it changed our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. invite all the kids. Come on down. Come on down. I'll be right here. All right, take a seat. Take a seat. Fellas. All right, how's everybody this morning? You want to come sit? There we go. All right, for this morning, I got to take my jacket off. All right, this is a serious children's time. Are you ready? Okay. All right. I have a costume I need to put on this morning. Why are you saying, oh, no? I don't understand. All right. I put it in my jacket pocket here. If you could hold that and hold those. Okay. Let me see. What? That's an apron. All right. What is this? It's an apron. Christian, what do you use aprons for? Do you use aprons at your house? You don't use aprons at your house? What are people cooking? All right. Let me see. I need these. All right. What? Am I what? A person that serves stuff? Huh. Okay. Yeah. I wish I was a chef. But let's see. The last thing. It's a what? Oh, let's see. I think I should put this on. All right. Here we go. What? What do I look like? Wait, don't answer that question. All right. Here we go. Somebody said that people, when you put this stuff on, you serve stuff. Well, this morning, we're about to do something. I'm going to go ahead and take that off. We're going to do something very... I want you to take a look at this group of people right here. These are our deacons. Now, do you know what a deacon is? Any clue what a deacon is?
They're people who used to go to Wake Forest.
They're people... I hear some amens from the audience. Amen. Some of them did go to Wake Forest, yes. But deacons, those are demon deacons. Those are a little different. But yes. So what is a deacon? You have a clue what a deacon is? It's a tough word. It's a big word. Here, I'll tell you what it is. In the Bible, the word deacon literally means, I mean, the most basic definition of a deacon is a waiter. Now, what does a waiter do? Serves you food. Okay? Serves you food, comes and takes your order. They serve, right? Deacons are really people who serve. The people that the church has elected to be their lead servers. So our deacons, they come and they pray for people when they're sick. They will call your family and see how you're doing. They will come and they do prayers every week. They greet people. They love on people. They serve people. That's a very, very important thing because what they do, deacons show the rest of the church how we should serve. They are our lead servants. So what I want you to think about, when you see our deacons, when you every one of the members of our church has a deacon that they're assigned to. And I want you to be thankful that our deacons have served you and have shown Christ for you. Because what did Jesus do for us? Didn't he serve us? Didn't he come to take care of us? Didn't he do that when he died on the cross for our sins? And these deacons, they're serving us, and we need to be thankful for them. Okay? Good. We're going to pray right now for our deacons and the ones that are going to be ordained today. Okay, let's pray together. God, thank you for these deacons that you have set aside for College Park. They love this church so very much, and we thank you for them. They love these children so much. And we're reminded when we look in the Bible that a deacon is really a waiter, a server of people. Father, help us to always be that. Be thankful for our deacons and to take their example. And wherever we go, whether it's school or home or in our neighborhoods, that we will find ways to serve people just like our deacons and just like Jesus. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good job. Anybody want this hair thing? No? No? All right. You can go back to your seat.
As our scripture text this morning in the ministry of God's Word, we'll be sharing together responsive reading number 707, which is near the back of your hymnal. This responsive reading comes from Romans 12. And if you will, join me in reading responsively. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
For by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think.
In one body, we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function.
Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them.
In prophecy, in proportion to our faith, in service, in our serving, he who teaches, in his teaching.
He who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who contributes, in liberality, he who gives aid, with zeal, he who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness.
Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord.
Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer.
May God add His blessing to the reading and the sharing of His holy word. As we enter into a time of congregational prayer, I want to share a couple of prayer requests for you. First, the family of Nick Dobb, the Reagan student who was critically injured this week. We want to pray for the Dobb family and what they're going through. And also, Jeff mentioned Fred Farmer and Farmer family. It's good to see you all together today. And I want us to be mindful of those among our church family who have lost loved ones recently, and those families who are hurting right now in different ways as we lift them up to God. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, what an incredible blessing to be in your house today. Just in the time we've already been in worship, Lord, we've been blessed to be able to come to you in prayer. We've been blessed by music. We've been blessed by seeing the children up here on the pulpit and hearing about service and the way that you call us to service. Lord, thank you for these deacons that you have specifically called for this purpose and this position of lay leadership. We pray for them individually and collectively as they seek to serve this church and to serve you. And we're thankful for that and thankful for them. Lord, at the same time on this Sunday of deacon installation, we're reminded once again that we are all called to serve. And we believe so strongly, Lord, that you have called each one of us, that we are all ministers of your gospel. And we come to you, Lord, asking for help, that you would help us understand our calling, help us understand how we can serve you and how we can serve this church and how we can serve others, particularly those who may not know you. Lord, thank you for calling us. Thank you for remembering us, and thank you for loving us enough and believing in us enough to have a specific calling and plan for our lives. Lord, we are very grateful. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for the ways that it ministers to us individually. Thank you for the people that strengthen us and encourage us. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and worship you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning we are mindful of those among this church body who are hurting, who have lost loved ones and just still feel the pain of that loss. And the separation, the temporary separation from a loved one. Lord, we rejoice that our friends and brothers and sisters in Christ have, have gone to be with you, and that today that they are in your full presence and power. And we give great thanks and rejoicing for that. But we pray for these families. We lift them up to you that they may feel your strength and power and presence every day, every week, every moment. And Lord, we pray for families that are and individuals that are hurting right now in different ways, whether for themselves or hurting for loved ones. We lift them up to you. Lord, we don't have all the answers, but we know that you do. And we know that you're in control and that you have a plan. And that your grace and mercy and love is more than we can even comprehend. And we acknowledge that this morning in our worship of you. Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your love for us and for watching over us. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
If you would please bear with me for just a moment. You may be seated. Ushers, you may be seated as well. Find a place there. I want to talk to you just a moment because as we come together to offer our tithes and offerings, I want to apologize to you because in staff meeting this week, as we were discussing the spiritual nature of tithes and offerings and things of that nature, my staff informed me they thought that maybe people did not know what a tithe was. My assumption was that maybe people knew what a tithe was. It was not the information that was lacking. It was the application of said information. But they assured me, well, there may be those who really do not know. And I would be negligent as your pastor if I didn't tell you what I knew from God's word that a tithe and an offering are. I want to say first what a tithe is. As I understand from Scripture, a tithe, the word tithe itself means tenth. And as we just sang, it says, as men of old, their first fruits brought. That's what it is. It is the tenth. It is the first fruits, not the leftovers. It's the tenth from the first fruits. It's a spiritual application of the faith that we have in God to provide for our needs. You know, we recognize God is the one who gives us everything that we have. Amen? He is the one that gives us all that we have. And the tithe is the way that we recognize the nature of that relationship. It requires a great deal of faith. It requires a great deal of trust. I remember in our relationship, Sandra and I, that, you know, I've heard couples say, well, you know, it works on paper. We just can't, you know, when they're talking about their finances, it works on paper. We just can't get it to work out.
There have been times early in our marriage we couldn't even get it to work out on paper. But we said we're going to do it anyway. And God blessed us through that time. He taught us a lot of things through that. It is a deeply spiritual testing of our faith, trusting in God that He is going to provide for us. That's what a tithe is. What it is not is when you get through, you know, with all your bills paid, everything, you look at the bottom line and say, well, I've got a little bit left over. Maybe I'll give some of that to God. That's not a tithe. It may be an offering at some level, but it's certainly not a tithe. Now, that led me to the question, if we are tithing, what if God took what we gave last year, financially speaking? What if He took what we gave, multiplied it by 10, and that's what we had, that was our sole income for this coming year? How would you fare? I can stand before you with a good conscience and say, we move right along. That's where we are. But I think each of us needs to ask ourselves that question. What if God took what I gave last year, multiplied that by 10, and that's all I had income-wise this year? It's a legitimate question. Our finance committee meets this Wednesday. And I need you to understand, 2010 was a great year in many aspects. You know, we have renovated a building in a year's time. They're getting ready to start on the bottom floor. The funds are in place to complete that renovation in a year's time. We've only been in a capital campaign for a year. That is phenomenal. That is incredible. In any economy, that is an incredible feat. As we suspected going in, it has impacted our budget giving, our ministry action plan. And it really is that. It's a plan to do ministry and missions. That's what our budget is. We really feel like that some of the offerings that were given to take care of the building have impacted our budget giving. And so our finance committee meets this Wednesday, and because they are a very conscientious group, because they do have the data from last year, I anticipate they're going to feel pressure to look at our ministry action plan that we adopted in the fall and go, well, you know, maybe we need to change this. Maybe we need to bring some recommendations to the church to change it. My contention is it's not their problem to have to fix. It's ours. Amen? It's amen or oh me. One of the two. You know, it's our faithfulness that's required to fix this problem. Our ministry action plan is just that. It's how we decide as a church that we are going to use our tithes and our offerings to minister to people, to reach out to people. You know, and it is often the case in terms of talents and time. The same is true with treasures. As the body of Christ, we all have things to offer. But when the different parts of the body are not functioning fully, it hurts the whole body. The same is true with whether it be time, talents, or treasures. You know, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. He didn't say it in reverse. He didn't say where your money is. I mean, where your heart is, there your money will be. He said, where your money is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. He taught more on money, treasure, than he did any other subject. Because he knew the human heart and the trap that we could put ourselves into. So how do we fix that? I think really what we're doing today. You're God's people. You're a part of this fellowship. It's a testing of your faith. It's a testing of our faith moving forward. This week, I'm going to do something we haven't done in years. I'm going to mail you a pledge card for our budget, for our ministry action plan. And I know that we used to do this years ago and we went away from it. And maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe the recognition of what the tithe is and how important it is, not just for us spiritually, but for us as the body to do the work that Christ has called us to. Maybe a reminder of that is in order. So we'll send you the pledge card. I hope that you will fill it out and return it. We're not going to hold your feet. We're not going to send you a letter if you don't that's not what it's about. It's an opportunity for you to sit before God and say, God, with your help, I'm trusting in you that this is what I'm going to do. And we're going to do that this week. I pray that you will take it seriously and return that card and that your life will be changed in just an awesome way as a result of your faithfulness. There's also CDs of the sermon that we did, sermon series we did a couple years ago in February of 2009. The sermon series was cleverly entitled The Sermon on the Amount. I thought it was. But anyway, it's available online. If you go to our website and go to February 09, you can listen to it there. But there's also CDs that are available. They are on the table in Smith Hall that we have all of our recreation items on. I was going to put them out here, but I'm afraid they got lost in the shuffle. So as you leave, if you'd like to pick one of those up, you're welcome to do that. It's on a little table. It's about an 8-foot table inside Smith Hall where you'll see a little treasure chest and several other information about recreation. There's CDs there. You can pick one up there if you'd rather do that. But it's just a reminder to us. It's a constant reminder to us how faithful God is to us. And as we come together to offer our tithes and offerings, it is a testing of faith. It is a spiritual act. It's an act of worship. So let's pray with that in mind. Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give to us. Father, they're more than we ever deserve. They're more than we even recognize. And God, we just pray that we would be faithful to our covenant obligation with you, our privilege to serve you, but also the privilege of recognizing you as the giver of all good things. We pray that we would be faithful to return the first fruits, a portion of the first fruits to you, to give glory to you and to recognize you as the giver of all that we have. God, we love you. But sometimes we need an adjustment in our attitude and our way of thinking. We need to test and to prove you. And so we pray that we would be faithful, that we would respond in a way that gives glory not to ourselves, but to you. And as your people, we would move forward to minister and to reach out in the name of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. This is a great day in the life of our church. This is the Sunday that we set aside for the installation, ordination of deacons. And so I want to introduce Carolyn Matthews. I know this has been a tremendous year. I'll let her speak to that. Been a great group of deacons to work with. And she comes as outgoing deacon, as also outgoing chair of deacons, to thank those who've completed service this year.
Thank you, Raymond. We've already been reminded this morning that all of us are called to serve. In Matthew and Mark, it says, even the Son of Man did not come into the world to be served, but to serve. And it has really been a blessing to me and an honor to serve as chair this year with these servant leaders. It's been a year of growth for me, and a year of seeing amazing patience and graciousness, and I really appreciate that to all the deacons. The people who are rotating off this year, I'd like you to recognize them. I'd like them to stand. Craig Cashwell, Kathy Chinlin, Jerry Cook, Terry Leffler, and Wayne Lewis. I thank you, and I want the congregation to know that they have truly served well. Thank you for your support.
Carolyn, we want to thank you for not only serving as a deacon, but as chair. I don't know if you've ever had that privilege, but it is indeed a trying task at times, but you have served extremely well and very graciously. Thank you. I also want to recognize those who are being installed this morning, and our new deacon chair, Larry Burnett, is coming to recognize those who will be newly installed.
It's pretty hard to follow what Jeff and Carolyn just said, because it's so true that we're all servants. And as a deacon, we're simply elected to facilitate that service within the church, to make sure that we're all serving each other, we're all serving the outside community, and we're here to assist, to do anything we can to help those that need help. I'd like to stand and recognize Mike Beeson, Carolyn Ely, Robert Huff, and Karen Leffler. A good-looking new group coming on, and I need a lot of pulchritude because I certainly don't have it. So this is a wonderful group, and we will have 3 years of wonderful service together. I was looking up some of the roles of a deacon, the biblical role of a deacon, and one of the interesting things about it was it kept speaking about the term Jeff used as a waiter. And I'm just going to read from a text by Derek Gentle. And this is a New Testament deacon. He said, serve the Lord by conducting the caring ministry of the church, doing the benevolence work, visiting the sick, being alert to the spiritual needs of the congregation for the purposes, and this is interesting, the purposes of freeing the pastoral staff to focus on prayer and the ministry of the word, promoting unity within the church, and facilitating the spread of the gospel. And I think that just says it all. Welcome on board.
Mike Beeson was elected and has already stood and been recognized. Mike was ordained at another congregation, another Baptist church, and so he comes to be installed. But we wanted you to know Mike a little bit better. Many of you know Mike, but he comes this morning to tell us a little bit about his faith journey, just to where, as he serves you, you'll know a little bit more about him. Mike, come.
Over the next few minutes, what I would like to do is tell you a little bit about my spiritual journey. I was fortunate to be raised in a Christian home. I was raised as a Baptist here in Winston-Salem at Mineral Springs Baptist Church. And we were always in the church if there was a service going on. Even learned about tithing before I even became a Christian. That was very important within my family. At the age of 8 years old, I did accept Jesus Christ as my Savior in a revival at Mineral Springs. And that's where my spiritual journey began. Then there was this beautiful young lady in Mineral Springs Baptist Church named Donna Hendricks that I fell in love with, and we were married in 1972. And that's where the spiritual journey became our spiritual journey. Our spiritual journey really did not take the route that I had planned on it taking. Now, I was always very much a homebody, didn't stray out too far, didn't get overly adventurous, and was a very shy person. But God really didn't allow those characteristics to stand in the way of His plan. So He ignored what I thought my plan was, and He provided me with other plans along the way. I did move to Raleigh with Donna and was at NC State University when I graduated there. We joined Pleasant Grove Baptist Church just outside of Raleigh, lived there for 3 years. Then I changed jobs, moved to Laurinburg, North Carolina, where we joined a small church, Stuartsville Baptist Church, that had been destroyed by a tornado just a few months before we arrived there. And it was a very interesting experience. We just had one small part of the church left, basically a room that we used to meet in. But the fact that it was a small church, that it had been through a lot, made it also a place where you could serve and be very active in the life of the church. And I can tell you that it was very much a learning experience for me to be there. And that is the church in which I was ordained as a deacon back in 1978. Things were really going pretty well there in Laurinburg. We were very pleased. We liked the church. Work was going fine. Except for one little problem, I developed an allergy to work. Not necessarily the hard part of it, but I had an allergy to one of the chemicals given off from some of the ovens in the factory. And as I said earlier, it was nothing serious. It's just that I couldn't breathe. So after really analyzing it, we decided it's probably time that I change jobs and continue to breathe a few more years. And Donna and I talked about this. We decided that we would go ahead and make the move, and anywhere was fine with one exception. You know, we had not lived in Winston-Salem since we were married. We were both from here originally. We now had two young children, and we thought maybe it's better not to be back in Winston-Salem, be that close to grandparents. And I don't really know, but the grandparents were probably thinking, you know, I hope they don't move back to Winston-Salem. They didn't tell us that. They were very nice people. But the way the story goes, God had a different plan again. Our plan evidently was not acceptable to Him. I had three job offers. And out of three job offers, all three were in Winston-Salem. So we moved back to Winston-Salem. And we enjoyed being here. We found a church that we liked, a Sister Baptist church here in the city. And not long after we arrived there, the director of youth left the church. And Donna and I were given the chance to be the interim youth directors for the church. So, you know, after praying about it, we agreed we would give it a try. And it ended up being a great experience. We really enjoyed it. And then went on to serve there as deacon, as a Sunday school teacher for many years, until God decided that I was a little too comfortable where I was, so another plan came along. This time I was asked if I would be willing to go to Russia and work in my job there. And of course, that was not my plan. As I said, I'm not that adventurous, so I just laughed and said, no, you're talking to the wrong person. But after about the third or fourth time, we decided maybe there was more to it than that. So after praying about it, we felt like God really was leading us to move to Russia. So we did make the move. We settled into St. Petersburg, Russia, and found a small congregation there, Emmanuel International Baptist Church, which was actually being sponsored by the European Baptist Convention. And, you know, that was great. So we attended there, got settled in. The only problem came a few weeks after that. The pastor left. And like I say, this was a small church. There was one staff member, and it was the pastor. So when he left, it left a pretty big gap in the church. And this was a church made up mainly of Russian Christians, with some international people from different countries around the world that were there also. Fortunately, God also had provided a retired pastor to that church. His wife was working in St. Petersburg at the Bible college there. So he was there, and between us, we tried to keep the church going for the next couple of years. And I would do the Bible study. He would do the preaching. When he was not there, unfortunately, the congregation had to put up with me delivering a message. So they were always happy when he was there. But it was really one of those experiences that I could never have dreamed of. But it was something that, as you look at, you know that God put you there for a reason, and he confirmed that to us. I did complete my assignment there and headed back west, coming home, stopped in Switzerland and spent 3.5 years there, and then arrived back here, I guess, in late 2006, and we began looking for a church here. We visited here at College Park as well as many other churches. But we just ended up back at College Park over and over. And finally we said, you know, maybe we should just go join College Park. And that's why we're here today. One of the things, or I really want to give you four things that I believe I learned through my spiritual journey. Number one is God has a plan. You know, as I look back on my life, he definitely has had a plan for everything he's had me do. Now, I did not know that plan. I had one, but mine obviously was not the same one he had. And believe it or not, his plan worked out fine, where mine never would have worked out. And as I look back, I can see where God has intervened and opened doors throughout my life to lead me to where he wanted me to serve. The second thing is that God provides us with challenges. I've done a lot of things that were very much outside of my comfort zone. I could not have done them on my own, but he was there and he helped me with that. I like to call these my growing experience or growing opportunities. I learned a lot through all of these different areas where God has placed me. The third thing is that God does provide whatever it takes to meet the challenges that he gives me. Now, I never could have done it on my own, but he was there, and he provided what I needed at just the time I needed it, before I even needed it. And the last thing I would say that I've learned is that the journey never ends. You know, I thought that, you know, when I finished all this, I would just come back and kind of prop my feet up, retire, and say, boy, that was great. But the reality is that was not the end. There's always another phase coming. The journey is a continuous process. I am honored to be elected as a deacon of College Park. I thank you for that. And I just ask that you pray for me and continue to support me as I take on this responsibility within the church. Thank you.
We also want to hear from those who will be ordained today. And as we did in the 9 o'clock service, we wanted to have ladies first. Have Nancy come first because it's the polite thing, but also because Osley said he's got 30 minutes worth. We want you to feel free to leave as not for Nancy, but so Nancy will come, and then Andrew Osley will come and speak with us.
I was already nervous, but when I heard Jeff talk about deacons being waiters, it really made me nervous because I used to waitress for a short time, and I was horrible. So bear with me. My spiritual journey began when I was born into a Baptist family. I'm a lot like Mike in that respect. My family went to church every time the church doors were open. And when I was 9 years old at a GA retreat at Wingate College, I made my profession of faith. The churches that we attended when I was a child were really the type of churches of do's and don'ts, and everything was pretty much black and white. When I went off to college, I found myself in a sea of gray, and I drifted. I drifted a lot, and that remained part of my life for a while. So I'm going to skip over that part, which is painful to remember. I made a lot of really bad decisions. And fast forward to the time when Tom and I moved to Winston-Salem, and I knew, you know, what was missing, and so we started looking around at churches. I attended several. But one day at a bus stop, and I was riding the bus at this time, and there was another gentleman at the bus stop who was a member of College Park, and he mentioned that night he was going to be coming to the church for the family night dinner. And I'm always motivated by food, so I thought that sounded like a good church. And I didn't come right away, but I did come and attend a worship service, and the music was just incredible. It spoke to me. Charles Edwards was pastor at that time, and he preached about a God who came down to earth because we can't climb our way up to heaven. And I began to see an image of God that I really didn't know before. So we started really regularly attending the church. We became very active in the church, but I married a Hurst, and Hursts do not make decisions quickly. We do not move very fast, so it took us a while to decide to become members here. And what really was the final thing for me was the night that we were here on a Wednesday night, we had heard the church talking for some time about a mission trip to Antigua, and they were going to be leaving in about 36 hours early on Friday morning. And it was announced that Wednesday night that two people from a different church had had to cancel. They were going with us, and they had two tickets available for people. They needed two more people on the team. And so Tom and I spent that service sort of whispering to each other and passing notes. And at the end of the service, I talked to Barbie about the possibility of me going. And to make a long story short, I went. And it was an incredible experience for me. I really got to know a lot of members of this church much better than you can get to know them any other way, I think, by serving on a mission trip. And so when I came back, you know, we made the decision that we were going to become legally members of the church. And I've been here ever since. I never did do the math, even after the 9 o'clock service, but I think we've been members here roughly half of our married lives. I've got a lot of warts. I've got a lot of flaws, and I don't really feel like I'm qualified to be a deacon in many respects, but I'm willing to serve, and I pray and ask for your prayers that I will continue to grow and that I can serve you well. Thank you.
If you are not hungry now, you will be hungry after I finish. We will be here a while. I was told I could have as much time as I needed. Last week after the 11 o'clock service, I talked to Raymond and did confirm that I would have the opportunity to speak. The first thought that ran through my mind was, what could I possibly say that would take up 3 minutes? I have managed to be between the 3-minute mark and the 30-minute mark. It just depends on how fast I talk. But again, I did begin the week trying to decide what we would discuss this morning. And I remember reading several weeks ago in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. It reads, or it talks in terms of the characteristics of a deacon. We hear in verse 8, worthy of respect. Sincere. Verse 9 tells us that we must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. 1 Timothy continues with the characteristics, but I want to stop there and talk to you or read to you a footnote I found in my New International Version Disciple Study Bible. Again, regarding 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 12. It states that deacons must be carefully screened by the congregation to see if they demonstrate suitability for office. Deacons must give evidence of a Christian lifestyle. They should have a sound knowledge of the faith and lead pure and sincere lives. It was after reading that footnote again, I decided what we would discuss this morning. There are some in this congregation who I whom I have not had an opportunity to talk to or to shake your hand. So at this point, that's what we will do. We will have a formal introduction. My name is Andrew Ausley. My wife of 24 years, and I pray it is 24 years, is sitting in the balcony. My daughter Claudia, 15, turning 20 in a week and a half, is sitting in the balcony. My son Drew, who is at Appalachian State University due to a snowstorm, he's 19, turning 20 in March. Now, I know many of you sitting out there are thinking, Andrew, you're too young to have a son 20. And I will agree with you, but we must move on due to time constraints. All right, at this point, my formal introduction is over, and I still have 8 to 15 minutes left. It was Tuesday morning before I decided how we would spend the balance of my time. Again, going back and reading 1 Timothy, looking at the footnotes about regarding the characteristics of a deacon, you know, not everybody knows me as well as Charlie Jones or Raymond Smith. So, again, I thought I would tell you a little bit about myself, a testimony, if you will. In order to do that, I must begin by telling you that in August, I went with the youth to New York. And I have said this to many of you, that it was the first time that I had had someone put into words to and say to my face that they did not believe in God. You know, I'm aware that not everyone is a believer. But when you hear that statement made to your face, for me it was breathtaking. But now on that point, I want to, again, due to time constraints, we're going to hold that thought right here. And we're going to move over here. And let me tell you a little bit about the Sunday school class. Just before Christmas, our Sunday school class did a 9-week study on the DVD entitled The Case for Christ. It was during that study that we heard men and women off the streets of Chicago make statements about Christ such as, it was a lot of folklore. It was a lot of wishful thinking. It was a lot of historical misrepresentation. One used the phrase mystical legends to describe the content of the Bible. And it was at that point that I realized that not everyone is as fortunate as I am in the manner in which they were brought up. A Christian upbringing, if you will. You know, I began to think, my great-grandparents on both sides of the family played a major part in my life until my late teens. Fine Christian men and women who love the Lord. I think of okay, I told you we were going to be late for lunch. You know, I had great grandparents. You know, we're just going to have to move past this. And I'm going to have to tell you that they were fine men and women. And I tell you, I tell you that it was, It did not matter if I was at home or with grandparents. For those, I can make copies of my notes and you can read at a later time. It did not matter if I was with my parents, my great-grandparents, my grandparents. It did not matter if I'm telling you that if the church doors were open, 9 times out of 10, you could find me there holding the church doors. You know, that's what we did. We went to church. And I am thankful for my upbringing. I'm thankful that I'm through with that section of our talk. Didn't say everything I had intended to, but anyway, we must move on. I'm trying to get you to lunch. In 1986, let's fast forward, let's get it to 1986, I married Beth Johnson. Excuse me. I know her name, Beth Johnson. She's from Hickory, North Carolina. She, like me, grew up in a Christian home with strong Christian values. And, you know, her father, a deacon at Mountain View Baptist Church. So now I'm rattled. You just have to bear with me. It started off the morning I have black socks with a brown outfit. So, I mean, it didn't get any better. But anyway, the gist of the conversation is we were married. We moved to Winston June of 1986. We moved our membership here to College Park in August of 2003. Now, since then, I've been on various committees. I've helped Charlie Jones and Bill Henson coach basketball. I've been to Kentucky to build homes for the less fortunate. I have chaperoned more youth outings than my body cares to remember. But I am thankful for all these opportunities. Let's talk about Christian friendships. I have many here at College Park. I may be the only male over 45 with a BFF. If you do not know what a BFF is, talk to the young person sitting beside you. My BFF is Bill Bootendorp sitting in the balcony. My lunch buddy is Raymond Smith. My beach buddy is Charlie Jones. This is just a small list of the Christian friends that I have made here over the last 5, 6, 7 years. And again, I'm thankful. I do want to say that College Park offers something special that not all churches offer that I have been associated with. I am thankful for the wisdom and knowledge of our seniors. I know without question that I can call A.C. Larimore, Wilmer McBride, Becky Grubbs, Bob Doty, Georgia Kitchen. I know that I can call these seniors, this is just a small list. I know there are others that I can call if I have any questions or if in need of spiritual guidance. Again, this was just a small sample of the seniors who I have access here at College Park, and I am thankful for that. I've been trying to make a point through the ups and downs of our talk, trying to make a point in two sentences or less. And that point is, I cannot imagine what it would be like to go through a day, a week, a month, a year, or a lifetime without Christ in my life. I am thankful for every hour I have spent in church. In closing, I would like to say, and members, you already know this, visitors, this is a great church with a great body of believers. And it is truly an honor to have the opportunity to serve you. And I am sincere when I say, if you need me, you call me. It doesn't matter how simple the request. It could be as simple as needing your yard mowed. If that's the case, you call me. I'll send Raymond Smith right over. But in all seriousness, I know that I can say that the deacons rotating off, as well as the deacons being installed, we are here to serve you. And if you need us, all you have to do is ask. And I am through.
I want to invite you to be a part of this installation in order of service. You have a covenant of commitment. For those who will be installed, including those who will be newly ordained, you've been elected to serve as a deacon at College Park. You have declared your willingness to serve. I ask your assent to the following questions. Do you affirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and His church? Do you accept the office of deacon in this church and promise to faithfully perform its duties? Do you promise to seek to be open to the Holy Spirit, to be used for the fulfillment of God's purpose of His church, cooperate with the pastor and members in promoting harmony and effectiveness in all its ministries? Now, for those who are continuing on as active deacons, do you who are presently serving as active deacons reaffirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and His church? Do you pledge to unite with these new members, of the diaconate in faithful service, seeking always to let Christ be lifted up. If so, let it be known, please, by standing. Those of you who are being installed, if you would please stand with them. Now to you, the members of College Park Baptist Church. To you, the members of College Park Baptist Church, pledge yourselves anew to the person of Christ and His church. Do you acknowledge and receive these new persons as deacons? Do you promise to encourage and pray for them in their office and to cooperate with them in the fulfillment of the mission of the church? If so, please stand. As your brother in Christ and as your pastor, I charge you, the candidates, and you, the other members of College Park, to remember the covenant that we made with each other and to carry out these promises faithfully as God gives us wisdom and strength. Thank you. You may be seated. For those who are being ordained today, I want to ask Nancy and Andrew if they would come and kneel here on the bench. As you know, it is our policy to have a laying on of hands. It's scriptural, and we want to do that this morning. But we ask that, given the circumstances of the confines of a worship service, we want to ask those who are ordained either as deacons or ministers to be the ones who come and do the laying on of hands at this time. And then at the conclusion of the service, I want to invite the rest of you, if you would, come and speak a word of encouragement to them. So if those who are ordained either as ministers or as deacons, if you would come along with any other family members who might like to come for the laying on of hands.
Stand now, Andrew and Nancy. I want to present to them a couple of things. First of all, the certificate of ordination, remembering today, Nancy, to you, as well as another copy of God's Word, maybe a little bit different type of study Bible there that will help you in your daily walk. And Andrew, a certificate, another Bible study Bible that you can use if you apply God's Word for your Sunday school class and family, those who come. I want to invite you, as we go from this time, I'm going to have a prayer of dedication. And following that prayer of dedication, it's an opportunity for you to respond to what you've experienced and what you've heard. I know we've been here for a little while, but it's important for our church to know who we are and where we're going. And I think you've heard from the hearts of these three who are coming on as newly ordained and newly installed, that God has had His hand on their lives. And I pray that if you don't know that same God, that same Jesus that we've been talking about, that you'll respond in the time of the hymn of response that we'll be following prayer of dedication. I'll be here at the front, be glad to talk with you. If you don't know the Lord, or maybe you know the Lord and you just need to renew your commitment, or you're here and you say, I'd like to be a part of this congregation, as Nancy said, kind of a whatever your decision is, you can make that during that hymn. But for now, if you would please stand me and join together in a prayer of dedication. Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these lives that have been touched by you through people, through their families. Father, we pray for all those who are beginning a year of service, a three-year term of service, that you put a hedge around them to protect them. That you would let them know how much you love them, how pleased you are that they have committed their life to serving you. Father, we pray that as your children, as the body of Christ, we would not seek to drain them, but also to serve them in exchange for their service to us. God, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for this day, and all that is contained within this time of worship together. Would you join me now in singing hymn number 486?
Amen.
Casey and Mike, I want you to join them as well. Come speak a word of encouragement to them. Let's pray together. Father, now as we go, we pray that we would go with the peace of knowing that you've touched our hearts, that you've changed our hearts.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.